Welcome to Be Righteous, where we believe it's okay to be right, but it's better to be righteous.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Let's go, baby.
Here we going down, worship in the Son of Man. Yeah, we with the Jesus plan, rocking him like he a man. We be lifting up our hands, mixing with the Jesus dance, waiting on the Holy Land. Think we can't? Yes, we can, man.
Hey, young world. It's your boy, Brother Rick, here one more time with the Be Righteous podcast. And as usual, make sure you like, subscribe, and more importantly, share what you about to hear today. So, today, I'm sure you understand what it's about because you probably seen the title. But today we talking about knowledge being the true blessing. I hear people all the time talking about God has blessed me and God has blessed me here and he blessed me there and blessed. I'm so blessed. But ultimately, when you understand the scripture, you find out that knowledge is the only true blessing. Now, don't get me wrong. God can bless you to be prosperous in certain aspects in your life. He can bless you with health and he can bless you with a lot of things. But the true blessing, the most significant blessing of all, is knowledge. So let's jump into this thing, right? And let's see who Jesus told us is blessed.
Scripture.
So let's go to Matthew 5, and we're going to read verses 1 through 12. It says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Then he said this, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." So ultimately, what did he tell us, right? He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So in order for yours to be the kingdom of heaven, you have to know what it's like to be poor in spirit. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." So if you want to inherit the earth, you have to know what it is to be meek. "Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Righteousness is keeping the law. We understand that, or we should by now. Right? The Bible tells us that he that does righteous is righteous. So you have to know what it is to be righteous in order to be filled. It says, "Blessed are the merciful." It says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." So in order to obtain mercy, you have to know how to be merciful. And it goes on and on and on. So ultimately, what we really find out here is the true blessing is to know something. Okay, that's why the title is what it is. Knowledge is the true blessing. As a matter of fact, let's go back in Deuteronomy and find out how Moses blessed the people.
Scripture.
So let's go to Deuteronomy 33, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4. It says, "And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, The Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto me. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000 of saints, with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law from them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob." So we find out that when Moses blessed the people, he gave them the law. When Moses blessed the people, he told them that you need to know something. He said, this law, yeah, you need to know this. So the only way that he blessed them was to teach them something. Teach them to know something. Now, let's go to Revelations 20 and 6, and you'll see why I said that knowledge is the ultimate. It's like the only true blessing. Revelations 20 and verse 6 says this: Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So it says, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. So there's a second part to being blessed, and that is to be holy, because to make the first resurrection is the truest blessing of all. So let's find out what it means to be holy. Let's go to Leviticus 10 and 10. Let's walk this holy thing down real quick so that we'll have a sure understanding of what it means to be holy. Leviticus 10 and 10 says, And that you may put a difference between holy and unholy, and between clean and unclean. So God is telling us that we need to understand the difference between holy and unholy, and also clean and unclean. So let's find out what that difference is. Let's go to Leviticus 11, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3. Then we're going to skip down and read 7 through 9. Then only verse 12. Then we're going to skip all the way down and read 43 through 47. Again, that's Leviticus 11, 1 through 3, 7 through 9, verse 12, and 43 through 47. Leviticus 11 and 1 says, And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying unto them, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, These are the beasts which you shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parts the hoof and is cloven footed and chews the cud among the beasts, that shall you eat. Verse 7. And the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven footed, yet he chews not the cud, he is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall you not eat, and their carcass shall you not touch. They are unclean to you. These shall you eat of all that are in the waters. Whatsoever has fins and scales in the waters, in the seas, and in the rivers, them shall you eat. Verse 12. Whatsoever has no fins nor scales in the waters, that shall be an abomination to you. Skip down verse 43. It says, You shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creeps. Neither shall you make yourselves unclean with them, that you shall be defiled thereby. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. For I am the Lord that brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beast, and of the fowl, and of every living creature that moves in the waters, and of every creature that creeps upon the earth, to make a difference between the clean and the unclean, between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. So the first thing we find out is God told us to be holy, for he is holy. And not only did he tell us that, he told us how to do that. He said, by keeping my dietary law, that's how you put a difference between the holy and the unholy, between the clean and the unclean. If God tells you to be holy like him, it only makes sense that he gives you an example of how to do so. And in this instance, it's to keep the dietary law. Let's look a little further. Let's go to Leviticus 19, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4, 11 through 3, verse 15, verse 26, verse 30, and verse 37. I'm going to say that again. Leviticus 19, verses 1 through 4, 11 through 13, verse 15, verse 26, verse 30, and verse 37. Leviticus 19:1 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." So there it is again. He said, "Be holy, for I am holy." Now let's continue to read and see what the example of holiness that he gave us is. It says, "You shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Turn you not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God." Verse 11, "You shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not defraud your neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with you all night until the morning." Verse 15, "You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. You shall not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor." 26, "You shall not eat anything with blood. Neither shall you use enhancement, nor observe times." Verse 30, "You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord." Verse 37, "Therefore shall you observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. I am the Lord." So here we see that God gives us more laws. He gives us more commandments to teach us how to be holy. He said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And then he goes on and says, "Now this is how you do that." So in Leviticus 11, he said, "Be you holy, for I am holy." And then he said, "Keeping my dietary law is how you do that." Leviticus 19, he said, "Be you holy, for I am holy." And he said, "Keeping my Sabbaths and not having respect to person and not stealing or dealing falsely with one another. This is how you do that." Every time he tells us to be you holy, he refers us to the examples of holiness that he gave us. Let's look at another one.
Scripture.
Let's go to Leviticus 20. And we're going to read verses 7 through 8, verse 22, and then verses 25 through 26. Again, Leviticus 20, verses 7 through 8, verse 22, and then 25 through 26. It says, "Sanctify yourselves therefore, and be you holy." Pause. Just a quick note here. Everything that is sanctified to God is holy. Let me say that again. Everything that is sanctified to God is holy. So what we see here is God is telling us to sanctify ourselves, set ourselves aside, prepare ourselves to be used by God alone. And that is how we become holy. So again, he says, "Sanctify yourselves therefore and be you holy. For I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you." Verse 22. "You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out." Verse 25. "You shall therefore put a difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean. And you shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creeps upon the ground, which I separated from you as unclean." So God is telling us he's the one that separated this stuff for us to make it unclean so that we'll understand how to put a difference between them. Then it goes on to say, "And you shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy. And have severed you from the people that you should be mine." He severed you. He sanctified you. He set you aside to use you for his purpose. That's all sanctification is, to be set aside, to be used for the purpose of God. Everything sanctified to God is holy. So he said he set you aside so that you can be holy unto him. And he told you how to do that. To be separate from the rest of the world, to keep his laws, statutes, and judgments, to do the things that he says do is exactly what makes you holy. And the things that he told us to do is keeping his law. That's why Paul said what he said in that Romans 7. Let's go there. Let's go to Romans 7 and we're going to read verses 7 through 12. Romans 7, verses 7 through 12. It says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin is dead." Well, we know for sure that sin ain't dead, because that's what separates the saint from the sinner, right? It goes on to say, "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me." Here it is. This is what you have to pay attention to. He says, "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good." So the law is how we obtain holiness, right? It's actually a little more than that. It's to go above and beyond the calling of the law. The law is what makes us righteous, but he's telling us that the law is holy. So when we keep the law, we become righteous. When we are sanctified to God and all that we do is to live for him and him alone, that's how we achieve holiness. That's what the Bible is, that's what the word of God is teaching us, right? This is how we achieve holiness: to do exactly what God said do, and then some. That's what it means to be sanctified to God. Not, I'm just going to not eat this and I'm just going to do these things because the Bible said it. But it's like every decision that you make is geared towards what God desires and what God requires. So to know that helps us to understand exactly why somebody as righteous and holy as Peter would say what he said in 1 Peter 1.
Scripture.
Let's go to 1 Peter 1 and we're going to read verses 13 through 16. It says, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children," obedient means to do what God says do, "not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be you holy, for I am holy." Now, in order to read this text in the context, you have to understand where he gets "be you holy, for I am holy" from. And we just read that. He got it out of the law. So all Peter was really doing was reminding us to keep the law, reminding us to sanctify ourselves. So in order for us to keep the law, we have to know the law. Again, it all comes back to what you know. It all comes back to knowledge. That's why the pastors are supposed to teach us to know something. That's what the Bible tells us. Pastors were given to us to teach us to know something, to understand some things. Let's look at that. Let's go to Jeremiah 3, and we're going to read verses 14 and 15. Jeremiah 3:14 says, "Turn, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you, one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." If your pastor ain't teaching you to know something, then according to the scripture, he's not really a pastor, or he's not a pastor sent from God.
Scripture.
Let's go to Ecclesiastes 12, and we're going to read verses 9 through 12. Ecclesiastes 12 and 9 says, "And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, and sought out, and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished, of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. So Ecclesiastes 12 tells us that the preacher was wise and he still taught the people knowledge. Now, what did he teach the people? What was written? Ecclesiastes 12 tells us that what was written is upright. So the preacher taught the people that they need to know something. The question becomes, what did they need to know? They needed to know what was written. Okay, what was written? Be you holy, for I am holy. Knowledge is the only true blessing. Blessed and holy are those that make the first resurrection. You are blessed when you know how to be merciful. You're blessed when you know how to be a peacemaker. You're blessed when you know how to be meek. And not only that, you are blessed when you know how to be holy. And to be holy is knowing how to keep the law. Knowledge is the only true blessing. You have to know something. Why, you might be asking? Why is it so important that we know all of this stuff and not just do it? Well, first of all, you can't do it if you don't know it. But not only that, the Bible teaches us that knowledge is what separates us from everybody else. Knowledge is what separates those that make the first resurrection from everyone else. That's why the Bible calls us to seek after knowledge. Let's go to Proverbs 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. Then we're going to skip down and read verses 10 and 11. It says, "My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yea, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then shall you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." Verse 10. "When wisdom enters into your heart and knowledge is pleasant in your soul, discretion shall preserve you, understanding shall keep you." See, we see here that we are supposed to cry after knowledge. We are supposed to seek after knowledge because, again, that is what separates us from those that don't know anything. What you know is what separates you from the rest of the world. What we know as Israel is what separates us from the rest of the world. That's exactly what Deuteronomy 4 tells us. Let's go there real fast. Scripture. Let's go to Deuteronomy 4, and we're only going to read verses 5 and 6. It says, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whether you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear of these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." So again, what we know is what separates us from the rest of the world. Our knowledge of what God requires and desires is what separates the people of God, the chosen vessels of God, from everyone else in the world. So, if that's the case, then it only makes sense that our lack of knowledge is how we can be condemned and separated from those that are chosen. Scripture. Let's go to Hosea 4, and we're going to read verses 1 through 2. Then we're going to skip down and read verses 5 and 6. Hosea 4, 1 through 2 and 5 and 6. It says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood." Verse 5. "Therefore, shall you fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I also reject you, that you shall not be priest to me, knowing you has forgotten the law of God, the law of your God. I also forget your children. So our lack of knowledge is what keeps us from making the first resurrection, right? If we go back to that Revelation 20 and verse 6, it tells us towards the bottom there, it says that these that make the first resurrection, it says, but they shall be the priests of God and of Christ, right? So those that make the first resurrection, those that are blessed and holy, those that know something, shall be the priest of God. How do we know for sure that it's those that know something? Because that's the topic, right? Well, let's go back to that Hosea that we just came out of and verse 6. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me. So it tells us clearly that those that make the first resurrection have to have knowledge. Because Hosea said, the lack of knowledge is how you are not going to be a priest. So if Revelation 20 says, blessed and holy are they that make the first resurrection, for they are the priests of God, that means they have to have knowledge. They have to know something. Look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, know something. Ah, hallelujah. But no, the lack of knowledge, again, is what separates us from the people of God, right? The lack of knowledge is how we are kept in bondage to our own ignorance and to the ways of the world.
Scripture.
Let's go to Isaiah 5 and verse 13. Isaiah 5 and 13 says, therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. So we see that when we don't know the things that God tells us we should know, we are spiritually in bondage. And being in bondage, again, is what separates us from those that are free. And those that are free know something. As a matter of fact, let's see what those that are free know.
Scripture.
Let's go to John 8, and we're going to read verses 31 and 32. It says, then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Those that are free have knowledge. They know something. What did Jesus say that they know? They know the truth. Those are they that make the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those that know something. And for those that might be looking for a loophole, not knowing is not an excuse. Let's go to Leviticus 5 and 17. It says, and if a soul sins and commits any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist not, or though he didn't know it, yet is he guilty and shall bear his iniquity. Not knowing is not an excuse with God. It's your responsibility to seek out the word of the Lord. So, in conclusion, knowledge is the true blessing, because once you know, you can do. And blessed and holy are those that know something. So, if you are one of those that always hollering about how God done blessed you, you have to ask yourself, do you really know anything? And your actions and the way that you live will be evidence to whether you do or don't. Well, family, it's been a blast as usual. I love y'all, and always remember, it's okay to be right, but it's better to know something. It's better to be righteous.
For more info and to keep up with the 52 song challenge, go to berighteouspodcast.wixsite.com/the BRP or call 815-310-5737.
UTK, you snap on this one, bro.
Everything you used to do may not always be what it seems. Once you start flipping, you start whipping, you start tripping, you're more aware, you're more ready to get it.
I used to be whipping and whipping and whipping, but now I stay flipping and flipping and flipping. I'm flipping the pages to make it through stages. I know it sound crazy, but man, I ain't tripping. I used to be whipping and whipping the block. I used to be tripping and tripping a lot. I used to be whipping and whipping the pot, but now I stay flipping and flipping a lot.
I used to be whipping, whipping. I used to be tripping, tripping. I used to be whipping, whipping, and now I stay flipping.
In the block.
I used to be tripping and tripping a lot.
I used to be whipping and whipping the pot,
but now I stay flipping and
flipping a lot.
I'm on to the races, I'm seeking salvation. Dilemmas I'm facing ain't nothing to me. The word that I'm chasing, it ain't no replacing. It feels so amazing, it's covering me. I'm trying to stay stable, cause I know he able to kill all the fables they telling to me. I sit at his table, cause leaving is fatal. I ain't buying what they be selling to me. See, I make decisions and play my position according to what I can see when I read. I handle my business, avoiding collisions. Man, I don't know where I would be without heat. My knowledge was thinner, you cleaned up my inner. Turned me from a sinner, I'm proud as can be. I was a beginner, but now I'm a winner. Winner, chicken dinner, I'm smiling, you see. I used to go the wrong way, down a one way. On a runway, I was slipping. I had the wrong play, on the wrong day. Had to go and get my whip. I was lonely, but I'm phony, and nobody would listen. I was speak boldly about the only book that I be flipping.
I used to be whipping and whipping and whipping, but now I stay flipping and flipping and flipping. I'm flipping the pages to make it through stages. I know it sound crazy, but man, I ain't tripping. I used to be whipping and whipping the block. I used to be tripping and tripping a lot. I used to be whipping and whipping the pot, but now I stay flipping and flipping a lot.
I used to be whipping, whipping. I used to be tripping, tripping. I used to be whipping, whipping, but now I stay flipping, flipping. I used to be
whipping and whipping the block.
I used to be tripping and tripping a lot.
I used to be whipping and whipping the pot,
but now I stay flipping and flipping a lot.
I'm going through stages, they in out of cages. I love what these pages is doing to me. I'm going through changes, this book is contagious, and all of the words are just gluing to me. I didn't think I needed it, thought that I cheated it. Glad I was wrong for thinking at all. But people mistreating it, need to be eating it. Pick up your phone and answer the call. See, he won't keep calling, but you gon' keep falling. Just take it from me, I done been there before. I had to quit stalling, I got tired of crawling. I got tired of feeling so low. But now I stay flipping to keep me from tripping. I'm in it, he said it, and I wanna know. Even when I'm slipping, I'm gripping, I'm gripping. I'm clutching, hoping I'll never let it go. I used to go the wrong way, down a one way. On a runway, I was slipping. I had the wrong play on the wrong day. Had to go and get my whip. I was lonely, but I'm phony, and nobody would listen. I must be boldly about the only book that I be flipping. I used to be whipping and whipping and whipping, but now I stay flipping and flipping and flipping. I'm flipping the pages to make it through stages. I know it sound crazy, but man, I ain't tripping. I used to be whipping and whipping the block. I used to be tripping and tripping a lot. I used to be whipping and whipping the pot, but now I stay flipping and flipping a lot.
I used to be whipping, whipping. I used to be tripping, tripping. I used to be whipping, whipping, but now I stay flipping, flipping. I used to be
whipping and whipping the block.
I used to be tripping and tripping a lot.
I used to be whipping and whipping the pot,
but now I stay flipping and flipping a lot.